الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القران المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة، فاغفر الأنصار والمهاجرة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama kiram, respected elders, brothers, ufati kiram, seniors, and juniors, and those that are listening at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. First and foremost, much has been said. I don't wish to take much of your time. 20 minutes maximum, inshallah, I'll be taking of your time. I would just like to recall of the time when we've got to retrack our history, how important it is. I mean, we can look at the times and age that we are living in today, and we find that something is happening in Syria, something is happening in Burma, then we see another incident happening in Assam. But then if we have to retrack and let us, you know, go back to our history, you will find that history is repeating its pattern. How, and simple example that I would cite before you, and that I speak of none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just prior to his birth, a governor by the name of Abraha from Yemen, he came to destroy the Kaaba. At that time, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather Abdul Muttalib was nominated as the custodian of the Kaaba on behalf of the Quraysh. So he met Abdul Muttalib, and Abdul Muttalib received him with a massive army of elephants. Where Allah paints this entire surah in the 30th juz of the Quran, where Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the people of the elephants? So this is days prior to the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdul Muttalib asked him, you know, oh Abraha, what's your intentions and why have you come? So he said, I have come with this massive army of elephants to destroy the Kaaba. So this is what Abraha said. In response to that, Abdul Muttalib said, okay, I've lost my camel, I'm going to look for my camel, and you know, you can go on with your work. So Abraha said, you are in charge of the Kaaba, you are, you know, the custodian of the Kaaba. My intention is clear, I'm going to destroy, and you are worried about your camel. What answer he gave, he said, إِنَّ لِهَذَا الْبَيْتِ رَبًّا. He said, you know what, this house belongs to one Allah. And history has taught me, whoever intended evil with it, Allah has dealt with him personally. So I went for my camel, and I have the satisfaction through the overall pattern of Allah. As the happenings of the years, Allah will deal with you personally. As Allah has mentioned in the next verse, أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Allah destroyed their plots and their plans. Now the ayat al-kareema which I have recited before you, where Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The translation of this verse is, Allah says, indeed, there is a perfect example for you in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for those who believe in Allah and the final day. Now it is a basic rule of tafsir, to understand any verse correctly, one has to study the background of that verse which prompted its revelation. Then to contextualize that verse correctly, so that the sentiments of that verse is understood adequately. For the record, this is the verse of the 21st juz of the Quran. It is a verse of Suratul Ahzab. Now, Ahzab literally means groups, sects, movements, parties, etc. But why is it known as Ahzab? Because it is at that stage when all the political parties, movements, and groups united their efforts and their talent, making their goal and the enemy coming, and the goal was to destroy Islam, and the enemy was the believer. Now, I don't have time to draw the analogies, but it is, you know, it is realistically today to understand what is happening around the world. You see the calamities and the catastrophe that is happening in the world today. It is understanding that we need to learn and study our history so that we don't view the current happenings as isolated cases, but the bigger picture of Allah unfolds before us. So now when the Muslims migrated from Mecca to Medina, and obviously migration brought a degree of calmness for them in Medina, however, the hostility of the infidels was far from over. There was ongoing hostility, and it took one incident to invoke an invasion or to legitimize an attack. So on one front, you know, migration is happening, something is unfolding, then we see another thing, another chapter opening as we look. So the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina. He barely got to Medina. He barely established himself in Medina. The year thereafter, the Battle of Badr took place, where they came 1,000 in number. The year thereafter, the Battle of Uhud took place, where they came 3,000 in number. The year thereafter, the Battle of Ahzab took place, where they prepared an army nothing less than 15,000. So it's intensifying by the years, the group is becoming greater, the challenge is becoming bigger. Now Allah paints this entire picture in the Quran. Allah says that their hearts reached their throats, and the devil exploited the desperation and the severity of the situation, and he infiltrated your ranks, and he started injecting nasty thoughts in your hearts about Islam and Allah. Allah says, وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So they started having, you know, question marks regarding certain aspects of Islam. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says, indeed, the believers were tested. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Allah says, they were shaken. They were physically, literally jolted. Now what provoked this entire battle, that 20 people from Medina, from the tribes of Banu Wa'il and Banu Nadir, they came to Mecca to steal the message of Mecca against Islam. Like I said, I don't have time to draw the analogies, but it is documented. You know, passionately reading the paper from cover to cover, bulletin to bulletin, but we're not even familiar with the campaigns of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they came to Mecca to steal the high-profile leaders of the polytheists. And they said, you know what, this is our intention, and we want to invade and destroy. So the polytheists said, you know what, that's not a problem, but we have one question. You people have close association with the people of the book, but now we need to know, أَدِينُنَا خَيْرٌ أَمْ دِينُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. How do you view? Do you view our faith better or the faith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, that's why they say for politicians to lie, it's a norm for whatever reason. So they said, you know what? If you can give us confirmation that our faith is better, then you can sign us on, we join your numbers to destroy Islam. Again, we've got to remind ourselves of the calamity and the catastrophe that is happening, and the wars that have happened in this world. Its history is repeating its pattern. So anyway, now look at the clemency of Allah. They then go to the Kaaba, in the surroundings of the Kaaba, in the sanctity of the Kaaba, and then they hold on to the cloth of the Kaaba. They latch on to the cloth, and they swear their allegiance that they will fight tooth and nail to destroy Islam. This happens in the sanctity of the Kaaba, and Allah's clemency gives leeway and allowance for this here. After this deal is on, they then approach Banu Ghatfan. Banu Ghatfan was the superpower of that time. The finance was theirs, the muscle was theirs, the power was theirs. They approach Uyayna ibn Hisan, who is the ringleader. They said, look Uyayna, listen, this is our intention, and we want to invade and destroy, but we need some airspace from you, we need some cooperation and coordination from you. So Uyayna ibn Hisan said, you know what, know, I don't have any problems with the Muslims. Count me out. International pressure. They said, listen, we can strike a deal here. We cancel your debts and we will give you the annual dates produced from our land. You just come on board, we will give it to you free of charge. Now, Uyayna ibn Hisn, understanding this offer, he said, okay, if that is on, then take me aboard. So after Uyayna ibn Hisn and his entire tribe of Banu Ghatfan, they come on board. Abu Sufyan, who wasn't a Muslim at that time, right? He wasn't a Muslim at that time. He gathered 4,000 youth, 1,000 camels, and 300 horses, and they leave Makkatul Mukarramah. And they come to a place called Marwul Dhahran, and they halt here. And again, they try to recruit more tribes, the tribes of Assam, Asja, Banu Kinana, Banu Murra, Banu Fudara, and they all unite together with a common enemy and a common goal, and anti-Islamic sentiments making their numbers 15,000. Again, brothers, let me just interject and remind why I'm saying what I'm saying is, understand the current happenings in the world today. If we have understood it, really it's the history that is repeating its pattern. And like I said, the bigger picture of Allah unfolds before us. Why are we looking for solution elsewhere where we can find the solution in our history? Anyway, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was informed that these are the intentions, for no reason, there was no provocation, the first words Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam uttered was, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient and He is the best guardian. So on a spiritual note, those were His words. On a practical note, He gathered the Sahaba and said, what's the way forward? Now it's important, brothers, that we marry the two. Whilst we have our reliance on Allah, we have our act in place. So anyway, so he had mutual consultation for two reasons. And really, these are the very two reasons that we are lacking today. And that is to establish the importance of mashwara and to unite the hearts. The result of that, and I will tell you the result of that, what happened, was a recent revert by the name of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu wa arda. He said, O Nabi of Allah, back home in Persia from where I hail, whenever we faced an outside threat, we would dig trenches around us and that would fortify us and bar the enemies from infiltrating. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw the idea around. There was general consensus and then it was agreed that now we will be digging trenches. The area that needed to be dug was looked at carefully and it estimated 3.5 miles long. Understanding no tractor, no equipment, no technology. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam put the banner of Ansar with Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu arda. And he put the banner of Muhajirin with Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. And then they were allocated in groups of 10. And they were given a portion of 40 arms length to dig daily. 5 meters deep, 5 meters wide. Sahaba unanimously agreed. Now something noteworthy, in extreme hunger, in extreme cold, in extreme severity, what were the words on the lips of Sahaba? It is mentioned in all the books of Ahadith. You know, you'll find when you have a contractor and the builder comes to the house and he's building. At the same time he's building but he's singing a song. What were the praises on the lips of Sahaba? Subhanallah. Brothers, this is what we need to remember. They said, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah, faghfir al-ansar wal-muhajirah. In extreme hunger, extreme cold, the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam that, oh Allah, there is no life but the life of akhirah. There is no comfort but the comfort of akhirah. There is no luxury but the luxury of akhirah. Faghfir al-ansar. When I see my ansar on my right hand side, and I see my muhajirin on my left hand side, all of my supplication to you is forgive them with general pardon. What were the words of the lips of Sahaba? They said, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا أبدا على الجهاد ما بقينا أبدا. In extreme hunger, extreme cold, extreme severity, they said we pledge our allegiance to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will live and die in his way. Those were the words on the lips of Sahaba. It didn't stop there. Every Sahabi was passionate that Salman joins us simply because he comes back from the land where he's acquainted. So they all approached Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, can we have Salman on our side?" Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam elevated his position and said, "Salmanu minna ahl al-bayt." Salman belongs to the house of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he put Salman with Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and Huzaifah ibn Yaman radiallahu anhuma. And then he said, "Dig in the name of Allah." Now look at the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once everybody relatively having a smooth run, if anybody has a hiccup, it is Salman Farsi. Why? Because he is the man who initiated the whole idea. But now look at the planning of Allah. Look at the clemency. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once everybody relatively had a smooth run, Salman comes to a massive boulder. He just cannot penetrate this boulder. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he said, "You know what, I have an idea. If we strike it from the rear, then I'm pretty certain that we will be able to break through and make our way forward." But then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has put clear-cut parameters. He has put clear-cut boundaries. How dare we trespass what he has allocated? Brothers, now I ask you, understand where your strength lies, understand where the help of Allah is given. I ask you, if he overstepped that mark, does it constitute trespassing? Does it constitute transgressing? On the reverse, it's you and I. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has put clear cut parameters for business and he said, "Don't overstep this mark," and we blatantly, arrogantly, repeatedly overstep that mark. So what's the way forward? Salman goes and calls my Nabi. My Nabi comes. Jabir Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu says, "I glanced at my Nabi and I only seen dust on his body." Jabir radiallahu anhu says, "I looked at my Nabi and I seen severe pains of hunger." And in another riwayat comes in, "Al-Bidayah wal-Nihaya," a sahabi says, "Batnuhu ma'asubun bihajarin." There was a stone attached to the belly of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. My Nabi comes and he tells Salman, "Give me the axe." Akhadha al-mi'wal, my Nabi takes the axe and he drops himself into the ditch. And then he strikes the rock by reciting the verse, "Watammat kalimatu rabbika sidqan wa adla." And he strikes the rock and a third of it fragmented. And then he strikes the rock for the second time and he recites the verse, "Watammat kalimatu rabbika sidqan wa adla." Till the rock, you know, fragmented for the second time. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam struck the rock for the third time, the rock disintegrated into pieces. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu arda, he says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, every time you struck the rock, there was a glitter, there was a glow, there was a spark." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Awa ra'ayta dhalika ya Salman?" "Oh Salman, have you literally seen it?" He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I very carefully, diligently observed the sparks." My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Okay Salman, listen. When I struck the rock for the first time, I see the palaces of Yemen coming at the feet of my Ummah. When I struck the rock for the second time, I seen the Muslims conquering over Damascus and Syria. When I struck the rock for the third time, I seen the East coming under the rule of the Muslims." Understanding, brothers, Sahaba in extreme hunger. And remember, the situation is extreme hunger, extreme cold, extreme severity. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is prophesizing an era of super affluence. Sahaba were those that did not question the integrity of what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. Hence, it became inconceivable for the hypocrites. And they said, no man, this man has gone out of control. I am not saying it, the Quran said it. What did the Quran say? "In yaqulu al-munafiquna wal-ladina fi qulubihim Pharisees, those that were weak in Iman, the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. When they see this challenge intensifying, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prophesizing an era of super affluence, what did they say? Allah and His Rasul only lie. Wal a'yadu billah. I ask you, my brother, you search your heart and see what crosses your heart and see the condition of your iman. You know, brothers, you checking your blood pressure, sugar levels, etc. Why don't you check your iman, the condition of your iman? What happened after that? Ya ahla yathrib la muqam lakum farji'u. The munafiqeen, for them it was intensifying. They said, you know what, this man is talking lies. We don't even have food here and he's talking about conquering. For all I care, let's move from here. The next verse then ties it up. وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمُ النَّبِيَّ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرًا. Now these munafiqeen, they came on the pretext that if the Muslims will become victorious, then we will get some material gain. So they came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they said, O Prophet of Allah, we know our homes have been neglected and our women have been unattended. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, go, whoever wants to go, you have my full consent. Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this juncture, He paints another scenario. In yuriduna illa firara, Allah says that these people, that they deserted my Nabi in the 11th hour because of lack of genuine faith. And they left on the pretext that their houses might have been neglected and their women have been unattended. In yuriduna illa firara, if somebody had to come to them, you know what, brother, come join us collectively to destroy Islam, Allah says, they will run out openly and they would respond promptly. This is the situation of those that were weak in Iman, the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. Today you ask a brother to come to Fajr Salah and this is paining, the back is paining, but that very same brother is 9 o'clock in the gym and 10 o'clock at work. Who has a problem coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So anyway, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes out of the ditch. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I just couldn't hold myself. My hunger, I didn't care, but I couldn't see my Nabi hungry. So he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, you know, inbani, you want to grant me consent? I just want to go home quickly and I've got some work. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, you have my full consent. Jabir radiallahu anhu, he comes home. And then he calls his wife, he says, you know what, do you have anything at home? So she says, Lana dajina, we have a little lamb and we have some flour. So Jabir radiallahu anhu says, you know what, do me a favor, slaughter the lamb. Today we ask our women folk to slaughter the chicken, you know, they're afraid of it. But anyway, she actually slaughtered the lamb and then she's making the food. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I'd like to invite everybody that's digging, but unfortunately I don't have much. I will call Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and few others around him. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I returned to the place where everybody was digging and I called Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and I said, oh Nabi of Allah, can have a word with you. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Jabir, speak. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, fasarutu ila ala whispering here. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam heard and he said, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, my hunger, I didn't care, but I couldn't see you hungry. I'd like to invite everybody, but I don't have much. Yourself and few other senior sahaba may come home. There's some basic meals provided. Subhanallah, may our parents be sacrificed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What did he say? He said, Ya ahlal khandaq, halumu ila ghada'i Jabir. Oh people, drop your ass. Jabir has prepared food for all of us. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, فَلَقِيَهُ مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ مَا لَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The embarrassment that gripped me at that time, only Allah knows. You know, Urumi kehte hai, man, yana man, main tera mehman. You like it or not, I'm your visitor. Not to say, brothers, because it's the month of Ramadan, not to say that we don't have much in our fridge and freezers. Allah, they are filled up. And unfortunately, our women folk, brothers and sisters that are listening at home, they will also vouch and they will say yes. They prepare so much in the month of Ramadan that it lasts for the next 11 months till the next Ramadan. So you ask their brother, you know, you're eating that samosa, you know, the samosa and pakore. It's last year Ramadan, samosa and pakore. Subhanallah. So you have for 11 months. And then we ask your brothers that you have started in the month of Ramadan, the ibadah that you have started in the month of Ramadan, continue with it for the next 11 months. Inshallah. So anyway, in the mind of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he then comes and Jabir radiallahu anhu panicked. And immediately Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Jabir, don't panic. It comes in al-bidayah wa nihayah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, don't congest the entrance. My Nabi comes, and then all the women of the neighborhood, they came to the house and they prepared the roti, the chapati, and then the other women that were there, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told them that don't lift the lid of the pot till I come. When my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, he put his blessed saliva in the pot and in the dough. And he told the women of the neighborhood to keep on making the roti and chapati, and told the women to dish out. Wallah, Jabir radiallahu anhu says, Wallah, there was more food when they left than they came. Now I ask you, my brother, that is the barakah of who? The saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By adorning the sunnah and the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what it will do to your life. That's why we have a problem, we prepare. You know, meals for 300 people, we call 30 people, is not even sufficient. We, you know, we prepare meals for 30, it is not sufficient for 3. Why? Because we have made the sunnah an accent in our lives. We haven't inculcated the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hence we have so many problems. Why? We have discarded the sunnah. Anyway, these people, they didn't come after eating and they left. They didn't come back and relax and chill out. No. 6.5 days. They completed 3.5 miles. And it doesn't stop there. The incident doesn't stop there. It continues. They face another setback. What is that setback? Banu Qurayza, who had diplomatic ties with the Muslims there. Banu Qurayza were in Medina. The people, the tribe was in Medina. And they had diplomatic ties with the Muslims. And obviously they won't go war with the Muslims. That was one of the, you know, conditions. So Uyayna ibn Hisan and Uyay ibn Akhtab, he approached the leader of Banu Qurayza, Ka'b bin Asad. He approached him and he said, you know what, we've got so many countries on board, we would like to join you, and that in that, inshallah, in that we will destroy the Muslims. This is what he said to the leader of Banu Qurayza, Ka'b bin Asad. So Ka'b bin Asad said, you know what, I don't have any problems with the Muslims, and plus at the same time we have some diplomatic ties with them, and hence we cannot join you. So Uyayna ibn Akhtab said, you know what, just forget about that. You cancel the debts that you have to give us, and we will give you the annual dates and fruits produced from our land. So Ka'b bin Asad, he reluctantly agreed. And when this person went away, Ka'b bin Asad called his people and they gathered them and he said, you know what, I've taken a new front and I've taken a new stance here. We are going to be fighting against the Muslims and not with the Muslims. So anyway, eventually, he tried to retract back. You know, let me just, you know, retract my footsteps back, and maybe, you know, I can cancel it. But unfortunately, he didn't, and the battle ensued. And then the battle was so severe that for 1 month, Umm Salama radiallahu anha, who was part of the battle at that time, she says that certain salah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Muslims became qada. That's when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Mala Allahu quburahum an-nar. May Allah fill their qabr with hell. They didn't allow us to perform salah. So this is, it doesn't stop there as well. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he found out about Banu Qurayza. Now you're gonna talk about psychology. Let me tell you, this is what you call psychology. In the midst of the battle, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called two sahaba, Sa'd bin Ubadah and Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And he called them and he said, you know what? And I've heard there's a rumor of Banu Qurayza that they have broken this peace treaty with us. You know what? Go and find out if it's true. Then come and tell me very secretly so that you don't create panic in the ranks of Sahaba. But if it's rumors, then come and blatantly make the announcement that this is blatant rumors. So anyway, these two Sahaba, when they came back and they returned and they told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that this is true, and they have violated the treaty. So immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam understood, and then he continued with the battle. Now let me just bring you towards the end of the battle. The end of the battle is, and this is the exact tactic what the non-believers are deploying on the Muslims. What is that tactic and what is that system? That from amongst the non-believers, a general from the non-believers came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, "O Prophet of Allah, I am telling you I accept Islam," and he read the kalima. And then he said, "O Prophet of Allah, what can I do for you?" Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "You know, 1 month have passed and you know the Sahaba haven't had much and they are weak. But at the same time, you know, what can I tell you?" So this particular Sahabi who just accepted Islam, he went back and he deployed such a system and such a tactic that he made from 15,000, he made them into different groups. So there were some with a group of 100, some were with a group of 1,000, some were with a group of 2,000. So obviously alone they could not challenge the Muslims. And wallah brothers, that is the same tactic that is being used on the Muslims. And that's why today we could have been billion in numbers, and they have actually fragmented us in billions of different groups. So really brothers, that is the tactic they have used. They have used our history, they have utilized our history, they are studying our history to use that very same tactic on the Muslim, and yet we are asleep. Wallah, this is the perfect time and opportunity. Wallah brothers, let us study our history and we can see how refreshing it will be when we read the history of Islam and the happenings that is happening today. You know, the war zones that is happening in different parts of the country. Wallah, my heart pleads for those people who are in that situation. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives them hidayat. If hidayat is not in their hands, but at least remove the Muslims away from this difficulty. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.